Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host of Mission Go.
Today our scripture reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, which says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Isn't it wonderful, those of us who are believers in Christ, that we have the power of God indwelling us and flowing through us? God has allowed us the privilege of representing Him here on earth, and we have the privilege of sharing the good news of the gospel and growing in grace of our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a great blessing for us. But for those who are outside the family of God, they are perishing and they're going to a crisis of eternity. And of course, this should burden us to try to reach them for Christ.
Good day, thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go.
This is Dennis Campbell, the president of Mission Go. During our Moments in Missions this week, I would like to share a letter from a dear nurse in Guatemala. As you might imagine, serving as a missionary in Guatemala can come with various challenges and struggles. Some of the common difficulties that North American women might encounter in this role include culture shock and find it challenging to adapt to the local customs, traditions, and social norms in Guatemala. This can affect their ability to communicate and build relationships with the local community effectively. Language barrier. Communication can be a significant hurdle if the missionary does not speak Spanish fluently. Language barriers may impede their ability to connect with the locals, share their message effectively, and navigate daily interactions. Safety concerns. Guatemala has higher levels of crime and violence compared to North American countries. Single women missionaries may face safety issues such as theft, harassment, or even physical harm. It is essential for them to take precautions and stay vigilant to ensure their well-being. Emotional and mental challenges. Serving as a missionary in a foreign country can be emotionally taxing, especially for single individuals who may feel isolated or homesick. They may also experience stress, loneliness, or burnout due to the demands of the mission work and the unfamiliar environment. In some parts of Guatemala, traditional gender roles may influence how women are perceived and treated. Despite these challenges, missionaries find fulfillment and purpose in their work, make meaningful connections with the local community, and contribute positively to the lives of others. It is important for missionaries to receive adequate support, training, and resources to navigate these challenges effectively and thrive in their mission. We are so thankful for this report on the Community of Hope. We begin with the success story of this home reported to us by KK Reports. This name will be the name for all future group homes. We have purchased the property where we will build our 6 homes and are discussing ideas to move there as soon as possible. We are still working on fundraising to build the future homes. Progress is being made on the upkeep of the existing building and the multi-purpose ministry building already in place, which will house the commercial kitchen, offices for social workers, psychologists, and other professionals, school rooms, therapy rooms, and a team center. Community of Hope will be a small village of special needs group homes to share resources and encourage one another. It will also give many of the kids some much-needed freedom, such as the ability to go outside or even volunteer in other homes where they will gain independence and self-satisfaction. She goes on and share that you might be interested in. The Catholic Church remains the largest denomination in Guatemala, and Easter is a very special holiday. Antigua holds one of Central America's largest Holy Week events, and towns across the country celebrate as well. A principal aspect of these celebrations is the display of the intricate alfombras, rugs. They are created out of colored sawdust, pine needles, flower petals, fruits, vegetables, or sometimes with live animals, such as turtles. A family will spend hours, sometimes starting at 8 p.m. the night before, and work through the night making the intricate designs. Some images within the designs have symbolism, while others are simply beautiful. The symbolism can depict gratitude toward Jesus, palm branches, or penance for sin. It is a family tradition where neighbors come together for a time of community sharing. After making the alfombras, there is a procession in honor of Jesus, usually telling an aspect of the crucifixion story. At the start of the procession, people walk on each side of the alfombra, keeping it untouched. When the float representing Jesus appears, they walk on the alfombra. She goes on to share how she is encouraged. This year, as the largest procession in our town was passing by, Annie and Olympia shared a special moment when the float of Jesus came by. Jesus, thank you for holding our sweet Kevin in your arm. And thank you that Kevin has brothers and sisters here who will remember him and love him always. Even though our children have limited understanding, please help them to always know you and your love for them. We ask our listeners to please pray with us for the many sick children in our care. The kids have been battling one illness after another, and some have been severe. David, Manuelito, and Mimi have been extremely ill. This is very exhausting for the adults who care for the kids, as they too are falling ill. Even the missionaries must battle a temporary illness, and it's been a challenge at times. Please pray for health among these kids, our team, and for my health as well. And in closing her praise in her assignment, we praise God that David has recovered from his illness. He has been hospitalized at home. He was able to remain at home under close monitoring because we can provide oxygen, suction, and respiratory treatments. He is feeling much better now and is off oxygen. Thank you for listening to our story, and please hear her heart as she serves so far from family, shares the praises of the many blessings around her. Mission Geo has hundreds of missionaries like this young lady in the field. Please pray for their protection and guidance in this ministry. Thank you for allowing us to share this brief moment in the life of a missionary. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about the greatest poverty. Loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for or unwanted are the greatest poverty. A quote by Mother Teresa in this booklet, titled No Longer Alone, by Joni Erickson Tada. We understand that when one is lonely, cultivating intimacy with God is a good place to start. God says that when we seek close company with Him, we not only realize we are never alone,
but we will see we can reach out to others who are in greater need. Nothing fills a void quite like getting the focus off you and onto someone else in greater distress. Joni says, look for divine encounters. It takes courage to reach out to others. You will learn several techniques in this booklet for moving from loneliness to friendship. To order your copy of the booklet, No Longer Alone, written by Joni Erickson Tata, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 122 and 10, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning. Printed copies are available upon request.
We read in Exodus 19, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. That's the Holy Spirit's description of the greatest visible, audible manifestation of God's living presence from the days of Adam until God came to this earth in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. In this series of talks, we're examining into what the Scriptures tell us about God's great days. Last week, we discussed God's day of creation and found it embraced four creative acts which only an eternal and self-existent omnipotent God could perform: the creation of the original heaven and earth, the creation of the hosts of intelligent living spirit beings whom the Bible calls angels, the recreation of the heavens and the earth, and all forms of vegetation and living creatures of the earth and sea and skies as described in Genesis 1 and 2. And finally, the creation of Adam and Eve, the parents of the entire human race. Their creation was the climax of God's creative work, in that he formed man in his own image from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became not a highly sophisticated member of the animal kingdom, but a living soul, possessing not only the image and likeness of God, but the very breath and life of God. That's why between men and animals there is a great fixed gulf that the theories of biological evolution cannot bridge. That's why a sanctity and sacredness attaches to human life which men cannot ignore or trample on with impunity. That's something pro-abortionists should consider seriously. People concerned about capital punishment would likewise do well to note that the reason God instituted capital punishment had nothing to do with revenge, but is linked wholly to respect for the sanctity of human life because of its divine origin. When God decreed capital punishment for the willful destruction of human life, he said, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? Because in the image of God made he him. Today we turn to the second of God's great days, which might rightfully be called the Day of Revelation. We noted last week that God is by character the eternal self-existent God who reveals himself. That's why he engaged in his great work of creating the universe and the angelic hosts and the human race. They were all manifestations of God in creative work which only an intelligent, omnipotent deity could perform. The manifestation of God's existence and intelligence and power in his creative work is undeniable and irrefutable. As the psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." But God has done much more than manifest his existence and intelligence and omnipotence in creation. He has, on many occasions, manifest himself to men visibly and audibly. In Eden, before man alienated himself from God by sinning, God spoke freely with Adam and Eve, face to face, when he instructed them as to what they should and should not do. They knew the blessed fellowship of his living presence when he walked and talked with them in their Eden home in the cool of the day. When they sinned, they hid themselves from God's presence amongst the trees of the garden, knowing they could not bring their sin into God's holy presence. Alienated from God by their sin and under the divine condemnation sin invariably brings, Adam and Eve were driven from God's presence and from their garden home. Genesis chapter 3 closes with these words, "So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." From that time on, while God spoke audibly to a number of individuals and sometimes revealed himself to them in supernatural ways, he no longer appeared visibly in his divine form as he had when he communed with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before their fall. This is consistent with what the scriptures teach us about the holiness of God, being such that anything sinful cannot exist in his presence. Once man became a sinful creature, God could no longer reveal himself in person to human beings without their being consumed by his holiness. This underscores the extent of the atoning efficacy of the blood of Christ and the completeness with which it cleanses from all sin those who receive him as their Savior. By that work of divine redemption, God has made it possible for us to be so completely forgiven and cleansed from sin that throughout all eternity we will be able to live forever with him and not be consumed by his holy presence. But back to the period between Adam's fall and the day when God descended in person on Mount Sinai in the sight of men. After Adam's expulsion from Eden, the Genesis record tells us that God spoke personally to Cain and later to Noah, whom he instructed to build an ark in which his family and two of every species of living creature would be preserved to repopulate the earth after all other sentient life was destroyed by the universal flood. After the flood, we're told that God manifested his presence to and or spoke audibly to Abram, to Isaac, to Rebekah, Isaac's wife, and to Jacob. Then for the next four centuries, it appears that God did not reveal himself or speak audibly to any man. During that time, the children of Israel were put in bondage in Egypt by Pharaoh and suffered slavery for 400 years. During all that time, God seemed to withdraw from any direct communication with men, until one day, when Moses was herding sheep in the backside of the desert, he saw a peculiar sight. It was a bush on fire, but the bush was not consumed. And as Moses puzzled at the strange phenomena, God spoke to him from out of the burning bush, saying, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Moses hid his face, for he recognized that he was sinful, and he was afraid to look upon God. God then commissioned him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the land of Canaan that God had promised Abram and Isaac and Jacob he would give them as a homeland. During Moses' dealings with Pharaoh and the exodus of the Israelites, God spoke frequently with him, but the climax of his revelations of himself during that period was the occasion at Mount Sinai, as described in Exodus 19. The nature of God's visible and audible revelation of himself on Mount Sinai is important because it nullified forever all rational arguments that God does not exist. No man can rationally deny the existence of a living God who's manifest his existence so visibly and audibly before such a great body of witnesses as God did on that occasion. There were thousands of Israelites encamped at the base of Mount Sinai. God's revelation of himself was not a fleeting phenomena that was over in a few moments. He instructed Moses to have the people sanctify themselves for 3 days in preparation for his visible descent to the top of the mount. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And then Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. The reality of God's holy presence was underscored by him directing Moses to charge the people lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. God not only proved his existence, but the fact of his infinite holiness, which precludes anything sinful coming into his immediate presence and not being destroyed. But greatest was God's visible and audible appearance on Mount Sinai. The climax of his revelation of himself to mankind occurred many years later, when the eternal Word came into this world as a living divine being in the person of Jesus Christ. John says in his gospel, "The Word which was in the beginning, the Word which was with God and which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God, but literally was the eternal, omnipotent God incarnate in a body of human flesh. Christ, while here, repeatedly affirmed his deity and demonstrated that he was God by knowing and doing things which only God can know and do. He read and exposed the innermost secret thoughts of the hearts of men. He demonstrated divine supernatural power over the forces of nature by stilling the storm on Galilee, turning water into wine, and causing a tree to wither and die by a simple word of command. He made the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He even raised the dead back to life. He said of himself, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, for I and my Father are one." No man can say there is no God unless he first removes Jesus Christ from the pages of history. Yes, not only did God demonstrate his existence and his intelligence and his power, in his great day of creation, but during his extended day of revelation, he revealed himself audibly and visible to mankind on so many occasions that only a fool would deny his existence. Finally, in Jesus Christ, he manifests himself not only to prove the reality of his existence, but to afford all who will come and believe an opportunity to know God personally. That's what true Bible Christianity is all about. It's not subscribing to a creed or philosophy of life based on Christ's teachings or example. It's entering into a personal relationship with the divine living God in the person of Jesus Christ. He made such a relationship possible by canceling our debt of sin, by dying as our substitute sin bearer on the cross, and by shedding his divine blood to not only atone for our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we can spend eternity with Christ in God's living presence without being consumed by his holiness. My friend, what is your real relationship with that Christ? Do you merely know about him, or do you know him personally as your Savior and your God? If you've never really received him into your life as your living Savior, won't you invite him in now as our invitation hymn is sung? May God bless you.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think on these verses from the Bible, from the book of Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Remember to order your copy of the booklet, No Longer Alone, written by Joni Erickson Tada. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Don't forget, you can hear past messages of Canada's National Bible Hour on our website, which is missiongo.org, missiongo.org, or you can hear podcasts on iTunes. Look for missiongo-radio. May the Lord bless you and use you this next week.
If you, your friends from church, or family members are interested in more information about short-term or career ministry opportunities, or seeking someone to come to your church, or a group to speak about international missions, please call 866-483-5787 in Canada or 888-900-5048 in the United States, or on the web visit www.missiongo.org, so we can share more information.